This episode is brought to you by the Slash and Cast Podcast Network. Learn more at slashandcast.net.
Yeah, you cut me too deep. I think I'm dying here, man.
Welcome to the 3B Video Deep Cut Podcast.
Watch a few movies, take a few notes.
It was fun.
Aw yeah, it's that time again for another bi-weekly podcast with your hosts, Rotten Roger DeMarco and...
Evil, and I do love a good joke, and this is the best ever. A joke on the children.
Fucking punk-ass kids.
And a joke on the entire movie-going audience. Fooled you fuckers, no Michael Myers here today.
Yep, he gone. But he will be back in 2 weeks, I promise. But yeah, that's pretty much the gist of this movie. Like, I mean, there is a brief plot synopsis, which you will get to, but this one, this is the prime example of people not paying attention to marketing and showing up and going, and getting fucking upset.
You're giving it too much credit. There's still people that were confused by the parallel Halloween timelines going on currently, so
yes, when it's absolutely
super spelled out for you, so no, do not give them that much credit. Don't think with a little bit of more marketing people would have been like, oh well, it's clearly not going to have Michael Myers in it.
Well, yeah, because I was just going to say, we still face that issue on YouTube, which is a visual medium. Every Friday night when we go live and we cover a specific film, the thumbnail will be of said film, and then people will be in the chat going, wait, what movie are we talking about this week? The thumbnail you clicked had the title. It blows my mind.
Oh, I don't read things. I just click things. I just saw pretty pictures, saw pretty faces, and clicked on them. I saw all these cute little cartoon guys, and I was like, well, I cannot not click on that.
Right. So even some people in our audience are known to just completely gloss over.
They follow us blindly, and we thank you for it. Now yeah. Give me your money. Buy my merch.
Do that. But yeah, it is another podcast of the Halloween franchise, and as you said, no Michael Myers this time around. This time around, we get a little Tom Atkins being a little
Tom Atkins.
Yeah, being a little Tom Atkins.
I'm like, is Tom Atkins ever playing a role, or is Tom Atkins just showing up to films and just being himself?
Oh yeah, 100%. He's
in real life too. Like the one time I did briefly meet him at a convention. Dude is one of those guys that rolls into the con with three beers in hand already. So, and I feel like he's not ready to meet and greet you properly until he's had at least two Budweisers in.
Yeah, at 10 o'clock in the morning for the VIPs.
Yeah, yeah. And he's totally bringing extra beers to hand out to the people who are working beside him and stuff, like the other con guests. Not to, you know, us common folk, but to his inner circle, he's... He doesn't want to get shit-faced alone.
Right. So, Tom Atkins is the man on a mission in this movie. Inadvertently put
why is he into a man on a mission. Is he so... What is he driven by? It's gotta be...
Vagina.
He's gotta be motivated to want to take a crack at that.
Yeah. And that's literally, very early on in the movie, which... Even as a kid, I always thought this was kind of iffy. Like, he's divorced, right? Or are we... He's not divorced? He's with Nancy Loomis.
I totally read it as separated, divorced. But, I mean, it's such a brief scene with him and his family that I totally forget about it. Just as I totally forget that he's playing a fucking doctor in this movie and not a cop. I'm just so used to him always being that burnout maniac cop 2 cop guy.
Yeah, the Night of the Creeps cop.
Yeah, yeah. And it was like, I just always think he's being a cop. And I was like, oh yeah. And he's doing cop shit in this movie. And I'm like, he's a doctor. What? Don't you have work to do? Do you just... Are they using you just fucking off for days on end to go to a whole nother town and investigate
the
things?
80s. Yeah, and also, I always kind of, like, slightly forget until I rewatch it that the medical examiner, like, he's got a thing for her, and it's... I feel like they've fooled around a time or two, and,
I think he's gone the rounds with everyone in his employment.
Yeah, and so, which is probably why he had to go stay at a hotel with someone way younger than him and go investigate this mask.
Yeah, talk about the most unbelievable scene in this movie is, going to investigate with this victim's daughter, and he's like, well, I'll go sleep in the car. Where do you want to sleep? Get the fuck out of here.
That's a dumb question.
That's a really dumb question. Take your ass to the car. Go sit in the lobby. Do not know.
You drunk old man.
But that does totally reward us with the infamous Tom Atkins ass.
Oh, yeah. And he's clenching that sucker tight to make it look muscly, so it looks real small.
It's a very unimpressive looking butt, I gotta say.
Two tiny hams.
Maybe slices of ham draped over bone. I don't know.
Got old man butt for sure.
Yeah, in 1982 when this came out. I was like, oh. Yeah, it's like looking at your grandpa's ass. No.
So, do you want to give the good folks out there in internet land a brief plot synopsis? I mean, we kind of already touched on it, but and then we'll just jump on into the Halloween 3 hate train, love train, whatever.
As weird as it is, we've not even began to discuss the plot of this film. This is a mask-making company that is Irish-based in California that steals Stonehenge and uses slivers of Stonehenge rock combined with 1982 computer technology to trick all the children on Halloween night wearing booby-trapped Halloween masks that somehow produce bugs, snakes, and poisonous things that'll just melt the child's head and destroy them. And it's all a part of Dan O'Herlihy, a.k.a. Connell Cochran, who just wants to bring back the old... You want make Halloween great again, pretty much.
Wow. And it's going to be tremendous, tremendous masks.
Yep. And it's up to Dr. Daniel Chalice, a.k.a. Tom Atkins, and Ellie Grimbridge to crack the case of the Cochran plan before Halloween night when the big giveaway comes on, which... That's what's going to be the trigger, is it's a giant commercial that's going to trigger these Halloween masks, and does he accomplish the goal, or does Tom Atkins fail? You decide.
If they remade this movie today, it would just be like some fucking mobile game, like mobile app, and then it would have an ad wall and force you to watch that fucking, and every kid would die. Like, it'd be like a TikTok video.
Yeah,
check out these awesome Halloween masks.
Yeah.
Yep.
Boom, ba, boom, ba, boom, ba. Which we're still about 10 weeks as of the day you're hearing this from Halloween time frame. So we're just getting that much closer to Halloween ends. But we got a long ways to go before we get to Halloween ends.
Absolutely. So... we have to address the elephant in the room, which we slightly touched on.
That's the whole movie is that.
Yeah. That this movie is just, it's the old okey-doke. Everybody on the planet thought they were getting another Michael Myers movie, and then John Carpenter was like, we want to try this, do a different take.
Yeah, this anthology thing. You know that thing we wanted to do last movie? We're doing it now. That's not going to fuck people up at all.
No, and like you said 2 weeks ago, John Carpenter did not want to do Halloween 2. He wanted to start it then, but Universal and everyone else talked him into this sequel, and then they were like, then you can do whatever you want. Well, Universal inadvertently fucked John Carpenter, because I think you and I are both in the same boat, that if this movie wasn't called Halloween... And if it was just called Season of the Witch,
oh yeah,
I don't think it would have like been a massive hit, because Carpenter kind of has a bad track record in the 80s. Like, his movies would come and bomb pretty hard. Like, and then they get a second life later. So I think this movie,
it's like a Jeffrey, would've, it goes away, then it comes back.
It would have done okay. Then it would have disappeared. And I think we'd kind of still be in the same boat we are now with, like, fans discovering it, and then, like, people deciding they hate it, people deciding they love it. But it wouldn't have that Halloween name to fucking confuse new people, I guess.
Yeah, this, we're going to come across this several more times in this journey, but there, here's our first fragmentation of the storyline being a parallel multiverse. Here's, this is the Choose Your Own Adventure horror franchise, and we're starting that separate branch, and it's a one and only branch, at least until at least at this point in time. I ain't holding. Yep. I'm not 100% ruling out that Halloween Ends does not bring this shit back some way, shape, or form. But this is our first.
We talked about that.
Yeah, this is our first splintering of the story is with this film, in which the Halloween movies exist in that they're Halloween movies.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, very meta ahead of its time. But, again, the audiences were not ready for this. Like, boy, did everyone hate this. You can't, and again, you know, it's the Halloween fan base is so disgusting. Like, you can't, you know, I'm sorry.
No,
if you listen
no.
to this, I'm sorry.
I like, no, do it. They like that. Slap them in the face and call them a bitch.
Yeah, spit in your mouth. Like, you know, you go on any message board. Are message boards still a thing?
I don't know. Comment section. I think that's the modern version.
Any of those things, and it's so violent and topsy-turvy and ridiculous with, well, I like this movie. Well, you're a fucking moron. Well, fuck you. I want to kill your parents. Like, it literally gets like...
I can't wait to see comments that show up in for this. I cannot wait.
It's so crazy that people can't just be like, you know, you like it, and that's fine, you know?
I've already started, too, with, like, I'm already trying, sidebar, to get the Return of the Living Dead cosplay going on for Halloween this year, but since we started talking about this franchise, I've totally also added that Spock mask into my Amazon wish list. Like, I'm gonna buy this shit, I'm gonna paint it, cut the eyes out, and I'm either that or I'm gonna be like fucking Baby Driver and get the Austin Powers mask. Just fucking paint that shit. This is a Halloween mask.
Mike Myers, yes.
Oh, you mean Jason?
No.
Yes, twist the knife deeper.
Which we also kind of got to talk about. This Silver Shamrock being as widely successful as they are with only offering three masks.
It's not that they're offering just three masks that make this improbable to me. It's that this is a ground-based operation. It's a huge factory, but it's all just guys literally hand-pouring, you know, the latex. Into these molds and making these things and painting them by hand. And these guys are still making fucking masks days before Halloween. Are they planning on shipping these ones out like a day or two before Halloween? Shit's already clearance by this point. And do they think people are going to be buying this shit next year? You think this is going to be a business that's going to thrive in 1983? What are they doing? Why are they still producing masks? And why also, I don't know if this would be you, but I totally, because the whole key element is that these big fucking tags on the back of the masks are what activate this secret spell, which I don't even want to get into how the hell you combine slivers of Stonehenge with computers to make this shit work or why that is a thing. But the first thing you want to do when you get home, at least what I would have done, is take off all that shit that's like store brand bullshit. Like,
yeah,
price tags, you know, identifying like company markers and stuff. Like, that's taken away. That's breaking kayfabe.
The illusion.
Yeah.
Yeah, the illusion of the costume.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if they would have fucking popped those Silver Shamrock things off, they might have got face blasted like the one lady.
It would have foiled the plan early. Like, oh, they ruined it. Who would have guessed these kids hated these fucking
bunch of
things?
Kids can't follow instructions. Yeah.
Yeah. And they also, and just the touch on the fucking Stonehenge thing, because I can't not mention that I love that the line of like, you wouldn't believe what it, you know, took to get this Stonehenge rock here. How?
Yeah. They're How in, do you sneak that away?
They're in Wales, and it's a long fucking... The wife has been to Stonehenge. She's like, it's a long drive of nothing, and then boom, there they are. And I'm like, how are you stealing a rock from Stonehenge and somehow transporting that shit all the way to California?
Putting it on the back of a flatbed truck like they do with the T-Rex in fucking The Lost World.
Shooter! Oh, that's the other one.
Yeah, that's the good one. We only talk about Jurassic Park 1.
Sidebar to that, I've only seen the first one. And
good.
And the
Never Do.
The Chris Pratt one. I've seen that one.
Eh. Yeah. But there's like three Chris Pratt ones now.
Well, I've only seen two Jurassic Parks of all how many there are, however the fuck there are.
4,600.
Unlike Halloween, which I've seen every single one multiple times and owned them all, including the zombie ones.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait
which
to get,
we'll get to.
I can't wait to get to those.
Yeah, oh boy.
I mean, I can't wait to get to those.
Also, we got to talk about the fact that, you know, Colonel Cochran or Colonel Cochran or however the...
I think my mind, I'd spell like Connell Cochran.
Connell
But
Cochran.
I keep wanting to say Colonel Cochran.
Yeah, like Colonel Mustard.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Colonel.
So fuck it, you're Colonel Cochran, dude from RoboCop.
Yeah. Yep. So, Mr. Cochran is this... like world-renowned toy maker, or his family were toy makers, and you know they build all these gags and all this stuff, and we learn pretty early on that all of his employees and all of these people in this town are essentially they're just robots that he's built, like his toy factory knowledge, his toy building knowledge has led him to build these very human-like androids that, you know, parole the streets like fucking hitmen and kill anyone who starts to figure out that there's
some... fingermen from V for Vendetta.
Yeah, and they're fucking breaking people's noses up into their brains if they figure out that Silver Shamrock is not on the up and up, which... I love that sequence.
Those are all the people who are not working for the company, because that's this whole Santa Mira town is all it is. It's like we're the Silver Shamrock Company thing, so everything is Silver Shamrock related. They apparently even have a medical facility, so they say in this.
Yeah,
are you taking her to the hospital? No, we're taking her to the factory. We have
best care she can get or whatever.
Top medical professionals, top men there.
Yeah,
Ark of the Covenant is in there too.
Yeah, no shit. A lot of shady stuff afoot. And, you know, again, this movie really was ahead of its time with the amount of, like, surveillance that's in this town and, like, just how much you really are on camera now and you don't even realize it. Like,
oh, yeah. We're used to it now.
Yeah, yeah. It's just everyday life now. But back then, you know, there's all these cameras on all the light poles and everything. And, my favorite interaction is when Tom Atkins is talking to that vagrant, you know, and the bottle looks a little heavy. Mind if I have a sip or whatever and all that? Like, this year, I'm going to get me about a case and a half of Molotov cocktails. Burn that sumbitch right down. I quote that all the time.
Come on, Pookie, let's burn this motherfucker down. Yeah, those are the only regular humans left alive are just the ones not being employed by the Silver Shamrock Company, which this town also has a curfew they enforce every night, which fun spoiler side bit is that's the cameo for Jamie Lee Curtis to make it into the third Halloween film. That's always fun trivia. Like, hey, did you know what, Jamie Lee Curtis is in Halloween 3?
Yeah. Yeah, that is a super sweet little tidbit. I have one tidbit that's not real that I invented in my brain.
Ooh,
and then I with the internet, discovered I was wrong. So,
I don't know. Claiming that the internet's probably not right. I probably think you're right.
When you're a kid, like, you just jump to a conclusion and then you hold on to it. Like, there's that Tom Segura joke about I forget which actor, and he's like, God, he's like, my dad told me that actor was gay. So my whole life I believed this actor was gay, and then one time I brought it up, and they're like, he's not gay. And so I brought it up to my dad, and my dad's like, oh, thought he was. Like, that's pretty much, you know, like, that's how.
I think we should stop spreading that rumor. Now we should.
Yeah, now we should. Yeah, that's that whole thing of, like, when you're a kid. So, as a kid, I was really big into Ren and Stimpy. And I pride myself a lot on, like, being able to point out a voice actor. Like, I know that voice. I know that person. So, up until, like, 4 years ago, I thought the heavyset guy who shows up at the factory with his kid and his wife.
Oh, yeah.
Buddy. I thought Buddy was the voice of Stimpy from Ren and Stimpy. And I told everybody that. I'm like, that dude does the voice for Stimpy. And then one day, I was like, I'll prove it. And I got on IMDb and looked, and I was like, I am a liar. I have been lying since I was like 12, and I apologize.
Just go into IMDb Pro and just switch that, put that in the, like, the...
Just change it up.
Yeah, just change it. You can do anything in IMDb now. They're not foolproof. They're not bulletproof.
They're like Wikipedia.
Yeah, you can just put in anything you want there. Just change that shit. Like, yeah, he voiced Stimpy.
Yeah. So I challenge you, anyone who's listening to this, and even you, Evil, the next time you watch Halloween 3, just, like, close your eyes when that guy's talking and see if you can picture Stimpy. I don't know if you were ever a Ren and Stimpy guy, but I was.
Ren and Stimpy.
Wow, okay. I'm finding out all sorts of new stuff about you, Evil.
I know. I'm just, that's what this podcast does. It brings the true me to the surface, and you're going to have to deal with it.
That's all good. you know, I mean, I find it's so weird because we're essentially the exact same age. So
we're practically the same guy.
Yeah, we really are. We kind of share the same brain and everything. So I guess there's a lot of cartoons in that era, and including like Are You Afraid of the Dark, which you never watched, which still blows my mind. That I mean, next time you visit here, I'll just have to sit you down and throw like one or two episodes on.
I'm the same
to
way.
Blow your mind.
And I'm the same way. Of, like, I used to watch Stunt Dogs. Do you remember Stunt Dogs?
I don't.
That's nothing. Yeah, nothing. I've only talked to one other guy in my life that's like Stunt Dogs. Like, yeah, dogs, dogs, dogs.
I was gonna segue from Stunt Dogs into a very cool stunt in this movie.
It has a great tagline too. The villain in that cartoon is, his catchphrase is lights, camera, mayhem.
Nice. Well, here we go. Speaking of lights, camera, mayhem, there is a really cool sequence in this movie where one of the robot suited assassins,
sex robot,
slinks his way into the hospital and kills, what would you say that lady's name was? I forget. Her father.
The Harbinger, I guess.
Yeah.
Harbinger of Halloween 3. Everyone calls me Dead Meat.
I'm fucking, it's so cool, like, grabs his nose and, like, and then shoves it up into his brain. And then just nonchalantly walks out to a vehicle, dumps gas on himself, and blows himself up.
That's a great scene. I love how casually he's pouring the gas on himself. Yeah, splash, so splash, good. Splash, splash.
Yeah, it's real good. And if I'm not mistaken, I want to say that was Dick Warlock.
I think so.
Maybe I'm wrong. Yeah, like I think I'm right, but I could be wrong, and I'm sure some toxic Halloween fan out there will rip my Halloween badge off my shirt.
That's cool. Just tell him about the Stimpy. Like, hey, did you know this guy voiced Stimpy? What up?
Yeah. Yeah. School you with my...
Dick Warlock? Yeah, he'd have had cameo. He played one of the robots. Also totally gay.
You didn't know that? Totally gay.
Now we should stop spreading that rumor. I think now we should.
Yeah. Yeah. We, you know, this whole stint through the Halloween franchise is just going to be spreading misinformation. I can't even talk. Misinformation this morning.
Oh, I'm planning on doing that the whole rest of this franchise. Like, this is going to be my motif forevermore. Like, recording this has changed my life and the outlook of, like, I'm just going to stir the pot forevermore on this shit. I'm going to never get anything right on purpose again.
Absolutely.
And only you will be the one, like, he actually does know all this stuff, but he's just fucking with everybody.
Yes, we know. Look, we've been forged in the fire. And again, if you want to hear absolute accurate stuff from people, there's 100 other podcasts.
Yeah, go the fuck anywhere and you got it.
Mm-hmm.
It may be listening to us. That's got to be the easiest shit in the world is to just find Halloween podcasts.
Yep. Just people reading facts in a straight line. Like
just ASMR
teleprompting
shit.
Facts. Yeah. Just teleprompting facts to you that, you know. But either way.
It's almost time, kids. Time for the big giveaway. Halloween has come. Are you lucky kids with silver shamrock masks? Gather around your TV set. Watch the magic pumpkin. Watch.
I do love the sequence when they're showing all the kids wearing masks all over the country.
Oh, yeah, I do like that. Like, and telling us, like, it's the only time it's actually relevant. One of those things I just fucking hate in movies where they have to tell us where the fuck they are and what time it is. And, like, it doesn't matter. When the fuck does it matter? Yeah. Here, it's actually like, oh, yep, here they are in, you know, Wyoming. Here they are in the Midwest. Here they are in San Diego.
Yeah, and what I, like, now that I'm older, I'm like, that shit was all filmed in the same town. You know what I mean? Like, they didn't go to all these places. They didn't have the money for that. They're like, this corner looks like St. Louis.
You know? Sure.
This field looks like Iowa. Done. Like, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. As long as you put those words on the screen, people go, yep. That's it.
Anchorage, well, Alaska.
Yeah, it's like a rainforest.
Yeah, it's fucking desert, palm trees.
You just put, you know, put a white filter on there.
You're like, you ain't fooling me. I know that's Haddonfield, Illinois, or Springwood, Ohio. Both have palm trees in the Midwest. It's a thing.
It's indigenous. Palm trees are indigenous.
Yeah, you can plant those things anywhere and they'll grow.
Speaking of palm trees, and going way back to Nightmare on Elm Street, sorry for the sidebar. I had never noticed in my entire life until we covered the Elm Street franchise. Like, I know there are palm trees in that movie, but I really saw them when they're on the bridge.
Oh, yeah.
I had never noticed the giant fucking palm tree in the background. And then when we were gearing up to cover the franchise, I was like, that they didn't even try to hide that. Like, that's... it's right fucking there. Like, what are you doing?
But it worked.
It did.
Where hardcore fans were like, no, you focus on Heather and Johnny there. And like, you didn't bother looking at the fucking trees in the background. You're just drawn into their acting, what they're doing. Who gives a fuck what the trees look like? And that should be the motif. And like, well, if you're doing a good enough job, no one will give a fuck that you're clearly not in the Midwest.
Yeah, well, that movie came out the year I was born. And I just noticed that palm tree. So, saying.
Yeah, we can't notice everything. I still like that I was the one that pointed out the little hidden creature in the poster art.
Yep.
Which,
yeah, I had no idea that was there.
Speaking of poster art, we didn't mention it during the Halloween 1 podcast, but I didn't know for a long time, probably until about within the last... seven to 10 years of the face that's in the hand on the original Halloween poster art.
Yeah, it's supposedly a nod to Black Christmas.
Yeah, with the like trash bag over the face. Like, yeah. You're looking at the hand holding the knife just at a certain way. It kind of looks like a face.
Yeah. I don't know if there's any validity to that being like an intentional stab at Bob Clark or whatever his name is.
I figured it'd be a nod for the original holiday stalker killer movie.
Yeah, could be. Who knows? Maybe it's just one of those things.
Well, the first, big public one. I know there was ones before that and everything. I've heard all the Joe Bob rants.
Yeah.
Halloween's not the first. Black Christmas ain't even the first. Okay. I don't know where the first lies, but we're past the first. We're into the third. Third and only of this type movie, which at the time, the big money guy behind the franchise, Mustafa Akkad, after this, the failure of this movie initially, said that he would never, ever do a Halloween movie again without Michael Myers.
And lo and behold, it took a few years, right? We had a hiatus. Because what year did you say this came out?
82. So it
82,
took,
and then we didn't come back till 88.
Yeah, we didn't come back till 10 years later. So,
and then
that's when they... I mean, I think they had some issues where they were going to do another sequel kind of thing. And the band, kind of like fucking Footloose, where they were going to ban Halloween in the town.
Halloween.
Yeah. And the Carpenter was kind of behind that and stuff. And then the rights got kind of sold out from them. And Carpenter and Deborah Hill's stuff wasn't in the deal. And then that's when it came to 88, and they're like, we're going to do another one. We'll bring him back, and you're not going to never not have him in a movie again, no matter what. Well, even after he's, I can't remember at what point Mustafa Akkad gets killed in a car bombing, a terrorist act.
Yeah, somewhere late 90s,
in the Middle East, and his son took over, which his son's the one responsible for Busta Rhymes being in Resurrection.
Yeah.
He's kind of taken over the legacy of Halloween. I know he said he'd stop at, he jokingly said 27 or something. So we'll see if we can get, we're almost halfway there.
Yeah.
Imagine starting all over again.
I'll take as many Michael Myers films as possible. You know what? And I would actually take another Halloween 3. If they wanted to do, which I don't know how you would, a Halloween 3.5. You know what I mean? There's always that part of me when this movie ends, maybe if I stay until after the credits, I'll get to see what's left. You know what I mean? I want so badly to see what happens. I don't know how you turn that into a whole movie, but goddamn, just a post-credit stinger would have worked for me. And
I tried watching a fan film that tried that shit. Tried making
oof,
a...
yeah.
Yeah. I was taken out because most of it was done in a newscast format. And the news... the anchor lady is really tattooed up. And this is not realistic to me. Nobody...
Yeah.
We're not that progressive.
Yeah, not yet.
I don't know if we ever will get that progressive. We're let the TV anchor be covered in tattoos. It's fine.
Do not get me started on fan films. That'll probably have to be a whole hour-long podcast in and of itself.
But talking this, though, I'll throw it out there then, because you want to know what happens. What do you think did happen? When this movie ends, did that third channel stop playing the cartoon or the commercial, or did it go on? What do you think?
I think it went on. I don't think that he got it to stop. And so that's where I'm man, it would be really interesting to see how many kids got wiped out.
It's like fucking Thanos, half the population.
And if it didn't have the desired effect that Cochran had planned for, it had somewhat been botched because two out of the three channels or whatever didn't play it, what would be the next course of action? Would there be would there be a movie about legal action? Would there be a movie about vigilante justice? Would there be just straight post-apocalyptic? What would it be? And that's my brain just goes all over the place when I think about it.
Yeah, what does Tom Atkins do on November 1st is a real interesting question.
He buries his children.
Goes back to the bar in Santa Mira.
Yeah, buries what's left of his children because they, a bunch of snakes puked out of their heads.
And there's the other mini cameo from Halloween 1 we get the call back to, because he's apparently, his ex-wife is Annie from OG Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Which I never really picked up on that was her until years, years beyond, when it was very common knowledge. Like, oh shit, that is her.
Yep, good old Nancy Loomis, or Nancy Keys as she goes by now.
Keys, but she's still signing her shit as Nancy Loomis. Which is like, yep. Cool.
Yep. And she does a great job with the little role that she has in this movie. She's just a grumpy
mom.
She's
had it with Tom Atkins' fucking alcoholism. I can't blame her. I'm all on Annie's side on this.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, show up. You show up with these masks, and she's already fucking bought them. She's like, she steals his thunder.
It's like 3 days before Halloween. Of course she's got their fucking
costumes.
Yeah, she's
like, oh, I planned this shit. You just find this on the gas station on the way here. Where's the receipt? Show me the receipt that doesn't have a six-pack that you purchased right ahead of this.
Yeah. Yeah. Tom Atkins is a deadbeat dad. He's a piece of shit womanizer.
Oh, yeah. I'll buy you dinner. Just keep sifting through all that shit that's in the... And that, how is that in the hospital's possession? Because...
I don't... The morgue? Is that in the basement?
Yeah, robot dude sets himself on fire in a car. It blows up. And then one of the lackeys, the women lackeys of his army of loyal women in the hospital, is sifting through the rubble, like in a little tray and stuff. And I was like, do police not exist in this world?
Nope. They do not.
Because we
have better things to deal with.
We never see one. And these are all jobs they should be doing. Not the hospital should not be trying to solve this crime.
Right. Yeah, it doesn't make a damn lick of sense.
I've not seen a town that small where they're combining the police force with the medical staff.
Yeah, no.
I'm Dr. Chalice. Hold on. It's after 5 p.m. Let me change my shit. Now it's Officer Chalice.
Yeah, and then, first thing in the morning, I'm Mechanic Chalice. Like, it really does.
No, in the morning, you call me Baby.
Yeah, then you make me eggs.
Get me 6 eggs and a cigarette.
Goddamn. 9 egg omelet.
9 egg
Tom
omelet.
Atkins.
And a pack of Marlboros.
Goddamn Bloody Mary. First thing in the morning.
Oh, yeah, he's totally that guy.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And it's a wonder that, I mean, he even remotely gets close to solving this crime. Like, you know, he just kind of fumbles his way through a bunch of shit, but not like, we talked about the Evil Dead franchise, and we talked about how, like, Bruce Campbell is like this kind of endearing, bumbling, but also potentially a genius with the stuff that he can do, you know, like in Army of Darkness, making bullets and things of that nature, fixing cars and stuff. Chalice, on the other hand, is just very, like, he's written like an everyman, but he comes across like a total douche canoe.
Yeah, as soon as they get there, like, I need a drink, let's go to the bar.
Yeah.
And they're like, what's your plan? Like, we're just going to break in. This the factory. We'll just break in.
Yeah, we're just gonna break in, and then you leave it up to the lady to have some finesse. Like, no, we can, you know, we'll get a tour and all that hooplery, and start to figure this out.
I think it'd be a more entertaining film if he didn't take her along. He's this fucking bumbling drunk doctor trying to like stealthily break into this factory. The kind of dude that just throws a chair through a window to get it open.
It wasn't until just right now, since we're discussing the plot points of this film.
We're reminiscing.
That I just made the connection that it's very much like Psycho, where the two people go out and pose as a couple so that they can figure out what crime took place and who's responsible. It's almost exactly like Psycho. Instead of stumbling into the basement and finding the corpse of, you know, Cochran's mom, they find out that they're going to melt kids' faces and that there's a bunch of robots. And, yeah, it's like that, like a suspenseful Hitchcock film, I guess.
That's a very... put that... Shit, if you were a movie reviewer in 1982, they'd probably put that shit on the fucking poster. Be like, it's Psycho for Halloween fans.
Ah, yeah. Psycho for robot fans. Like, it's... That's the other thing about this movie is, who is the fan base? You know what I mean? Like, the first and the second Halloween play to a very specific group of horror fans. The birth of the slasher fan, right? And then Halloween 3 is very different in its tone and very, like, sci-fi, like borders on sci-fi. So, like,
oh, that was because Tommy Lee Wallace took over doing this movie after he passed on Halloween 2, right. And his big influence was the Quatermass movies. I'm not sure how to say it.
It's Quatermass.
The old Quatermasters. So, and he was really influenced by the invasion of the Body Snatchers. So that was kind of his influence. So it's kind of rooted in sci-fi lore. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, I would totally put this in a sci-fi bordering on a horror movie. I wouldn't even put this in a slasher category at all. It might go in there by default because it's part of the franchise.
Yeah.
But
so by default, a guy like VHS Mikey, this would be his favorite Halloween because he's a sci-fi guy. So
it probably is his favorite. We should ask
him. I was going to say it. I've never asked him officially, so
let's just call him right now.
Like, which Halloween do you like the most? And if the answer is Halloween 3, then our suspicions are correct that this movie is made specifically for suspense and sci-fi fans. But the question here's it has to do with the marketing, right? So,
I mean, all the marketing I remember was this. They advertise it as, now this is the movie of the night no one comes home.
Yeah.
Good tagline. I like that.
Yeah, but it's a tad misleading. Like, how do you market this to sci-fi fans without spoiling it? Because that's kind of like...
And you just show them Stonehenge and computers. And just show them that. Just show them the scene of Tom Atkins dumping the buttons over like a walkway over the circle of the commercial playing, and these things is popping like fireworks and killing these scientists. Like, just show that scene there, and there you go.
All right. Yeah, because it's a very weird film to like put into a box, I guess. And I think that's kind of always been, like, I don't have a problem with this movie, but I think that's always been, like, my thought process on it is, like, well, like, where does this go? And, like, when am I, like, I know you said your wife is a fan of this movie and she watches this one, maybe not on a regular basis, but enough, right? And
she's not opposed to this one going on. Outside of the new trilogy, she's not really a Halloween franchise fan, but I can talk her into this one from time to time. Oddly enough, maybe it's just because it's in her name, but Fembot, who's joined us occasionally on some of the live shows and is one of our big fans, she loves Halloween 3.
So my question is, what criteria has to be met for this to be the movie that you put on? You know, like, we have our any time of day films, we have our popcorn films, we have our after 8 p.m. films, the after dark stuff. We have all of these different classifications for the movies that we watch on a regular basis, or even movies not so much on a regular basis. But what tickles your fancy to want to put on Halloween 3? And I mean, I'm genuinely curious because I watch it occasionally, but I also can't put my finger on what makes me want to watch it.
Just trying to think off the top of my head. Like, I feel like it's got to be closer to the season. Like, I feel like once September hits, I can be like, all right, I'll throw it on. Like, it's a it's a priming the pump for the season movie. We do have, of course, one naked scene, but it's barely, and it's more. I even remember, like, the first time I watched this, like, when it got to this scene, even back then when I first saw it, I was like, all right, let's get this fucking scene out of the way. Like, I wasn't even, not even interested in, like, anything going on. I was like, oh, yeah, this is where they hook up for I don't know what reason. Even back then, yeah, when I was a little kid, I was like, I don't know why they're fucking around.
Nope. Just because they're a dude and a girl in a hotel room at night.
Yeah. And yeah, it's so over, like, Tom Atkins' butt's so overwhelming. I don't, like, we see her breastises, don't we?
I think. Hidden in the shadows, like, in the embrace. Because when they do the towel drop, we got the strategic shoulder placement and things of that nature.
Like that's how distracting Tom Atkins' weird looking ass is. And it's like, I don't remember breastises. All I remember is old man butt.
Yeah. Which we also kind of got to talk about the Swerve Bro got him moment in this movie, which I know we have when we did the live stream on this movie. We did, I believe, we've done a live stream.
Oh, yes, we have. This past year.
There's a certain point in this film, and, you know, if you're listening to this and you haven't seen this film,
what is wrong with
you? Yeah, spoiler alert, and sorry to ruin this for you, but the lead girl ends up being a robot. And I believe we've had this conversation as to
when
did this switch happen?
I don't know. When does Ellie Grimbridge become a fembot?
I think it's when they bust in and kidnap her, they swap her out. But part of me wants to think she's been a robot
from, like, Jump Street
since they got to Santa Mira. And, you know, I have that old, like, Austin Powers thought process, like, with Elizabeth Hurley.
If Tom Atkins had tried foreplay, he would have found out.
Yeah. Like, didn't her bebop boobop hole feel a little different? Like, feel some circuits in there or something? Like,
I mean, Tom's probably so fucking loaded he probably didn't even notice. Like,
yeah,
you tell me that man doesn't have a little bit of pain when he's doing it anyway.
I don't know, maybe he got the, like, Eversoft, like, because he's got whiskey dick all the time, he's just ramming it in there.
I feel he's kind of like James Woods in Scary Movie 2, like a little more humping, bumping before it starts pumping. Now I realize if I tickle my ass right before I unleash the dog of war.
James Woods. I want to like you, but I can't.
Best part of Scary Movie 2, I'll say that much.
Yeah.
Awesome in vampires. And that's probably about the end of it.
Digstown. Digstown's really good, but that's...
Don't know Digstown.
Yeah, it's a great movie. It's a boxing movie.
Videodrome.
Also good.
Okay.
So yeah, James Woods does good stuff, man.
He did some good stuff.
Yeah, and then he became an old man who's off his goddamn rocker. Really good in Family Guy.
Crabby old man. New piece of candy.
A rich, crabby old man. So, you know how that goes. But
I wish I knew how that went.
Was there anything else in this film that we haven't shot holes in or discussed that you want to discuss before we move on?
No, I don't think so. I think we did. I mean, we're doing all this, but we're still going to totally watch this movie when this is released in a couple weeks to start getting ready for the season. Actually, I might throw it on today. Who knows?
Right. Yeah.
But it's getting close to that time, so I'll dust off Halloween 3 and throw it on, which, yeah, I think it'd start around September and maybe a little bit post in November. Like, well, that's what it was like a week or so ago. That's the window for Halloween 3 kind of criteria. So it's fun to shoot the holes in it. That's what we do here, and we do it all out of love.
Yeah, because I do love this movie, but I can't help but laugh at some of the absurdities in this movie.
Well, that's the best part of being an adult, is laughing at shit you didn't even think about in 1982.
Absolutely.
But it's time to stop talking about love and switch over to the hate of the shining star of the Amazon One Star Reviews.
Hated it.
Timely appropriate, this on October 29th, 2021 from Kindle Customer. Are Kindles even still a thing? I have an old Kindle tablet, and I haven't used that shit in probably 4 years.
I don't know. You know, technology moves so... this is how old I am now. I'm like, technology moves so dang fast. I just can't keep up.
It moves so fast. Well, my problem is I've stopped using it because I've had other things that do pretty much the same shit. But I put some of my personal stuff on there, like passwords and stuff to streaming devices and shit. So I'm like, I don't even know how to log... how to plug this thing in to charge it to get enough power to take all that stuff off. So I'm like... one of these days, I'm just going to be just having a big party where I'm just burning all my old electronics because I'm afraid to throw them away because someone might have the technology to pull my information off of it.
Kindle Customer. So you watch this on a book reading device?
In 2021? I don't know, but on October 29th, 2021, he says one star, painfully bad. And then he goes on to say, spoiler free. So just so you know, before you get into his review, he's spoiler-free. You be the judge of that. This is the reason the Halloween series decided to go back to Michael Myers. Myers, M-E-Y-E-R-S.
Oh.
The title and cover image create a sense of Halloween awe and atmosphere, the likes of which were completely absent from the movie itself. The main villain of the movie seem like he slash she was stolen from some low budget sci-fi movie and shoehorned in because Michael Myers never showed up to filming. The plot is so bad and confusing that after watching it several times, I still have no clue about who, what, or why of it. That don't make no sense. I still have no clue about the who, what, and why of it. Okay. No, never mind. The acting was average at best, but I honestly felt as if the script was made by a bunch of interns who had to put something together during their lunch break after a few drinks. Bottom line is, if you are looking for a good Halloween movie to get you in the spirit, this is not for you.
Not it. Whatever. There's so much October atmosphere in this movie. It's actually, I feel, up there in the franchise when it comes to the atmosphere.
Oh yeah.
Because it's literally rooted in Halloween. It's literally rooted in trick or treating.
Yeah, it's more Halloween than some of the other Halloween movies in the series.
Yeah, we'll get to those.
Looking at you, Resurrection.
Dude, so speaking of Resurrection,
love
sidebar.
It. Yeah.
Yesterday. On yesterday. Whatever yesterday's date was.
Monday.
The 12th. July 12th. But in 2002, Anthony and I went to the theaters to watch Halloween Resurrection. Yep.
So how does that feel 20 years later? That's your H2O moment there, man. 20 years since Resurrection. Partly why that film probably doesn't feel like Halloween, because it's... was released in fucking July.
Yeah.
Shows you the faith they had in it.
That's true. I never really thought of that. Because even Halloween H2O was released in the October month, if I'm not mistaken.
Go to our YouTube channel and look at our commentary on Halloween Resurrection. I had purposely demanded that as a birthday gift from our Tech Man Remix last year, because I wanted to hear his thoughts on streaming a... live show from multiple cameras from a fucking van in 2002. Yeah, that didn't look like garbage. But back to the here and now of February 21st, 2019 from Amazon Guy 970. He says one star, just know this movie was an abomination. Someone go back in time and stop it from being made. If you're thinking of renting it, do yourself a favor and give this one a pass. Insert Michael Scott, God, no, clip from The Office here.
Oh, he's witty. Witty. This guy's a witty reviewer.
And yeah. He wants somebody to get in the DeLorean, go 88 miles per hour, and go back to 1982 and stop the film Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, this movie, from being made.
You gotta stop it. Jesus Christ, gosh, you gotta stop it.
It's too late, Amazon guy.
Yep.
Next up, on September 20th, 2021, Emily Maron.
Maron.
1 star. Crap. Would put 0 stars if it would, but it's not an option. I want my money back. This piece of feces was $3.99. What a joke. Had nothing to do with Michael Myers at all. Probably the worst movie I've seen in my life.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, they're bitter.
Give me my $4, pal.
Now. You give it because I want it. Jesus.
And this is a continuing theme, man. Like Lauren on April 9th, 2021 says, 1 star, sucked, stupid movie, had nothing to do with Michael Myers at all. Karina H on June 29th, 2022 says, 1 star, oh, has absolutely nothing to do with Michael Myers.
That was like just the other day.
Yeah, I honestly don't understand why this is part of the Halloween series when it has nothing to do with Michael Myers. It's boring and the song they use is so annoying. So she's not a fan of London Bridge.
Yeah, you know, not everybody can be, but it'll get stuck in your... It's an earworm for sure.
Oh.
Like once you hear it, it's like you have like a whole half a year.
I have a Halloween playlist on YouTube that I'll put on, like I'm sure you do, on the projector outside on Halloween night, you know, set the whole atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Of course, I have that whole commercial jingle in there playing at some point. Oh, yeah. Because why this the hell year, not?
This year, I'm going to cut together like a fucking...
Make your own.
I'm going to cut together like a 3-hour, just a bunch of scenes from horror movies, but like omit the boobs and omit like anything too gory. But put some synthwave to it.
You're gonna TV edit your own background cinema.
I'm gonna project it on the top of the house.
Oh gee, oh Jesus!
So people, when they're driving by, see that and they're like, "Oh, these people probably have good candy," and show up.
If they don't know by this point in time in your town that's the story, I don't know,
right?
If that will do it, but I'm intrigued to see how that's gonna work. For sure. But speaking of October, on October 5th, 2018, Jordan says, 1 star, boo.
A lot of O's on that one.
Bad, so bad. My roommates and I are watching all the Halloween movies before the new one comes out. And so far, this is the worst one. It's separate from the franchise. Poorly made. Extremely graphic. Some laughable moments, but all around bad.
What's extremely graphic in this movie? This movie, I guess, pass
that one
for,
dude's
like,
getting his head pulled off. That's pretty...
This could be on TBS.
If this was that bad, I don't know how the hell they were getting ready for Halloween Kills. They probably shit their pants.
Yeah, this is like TBS, like lunch in a movie. Halloween 3 followed by Jaws 3.
Saturday like, afternoon, day scream theater.
Yeah, there you go. Like, seriously, it's pretty fucking tame, dude.
YouTube is more violent nowadays.
It is.
Than this. Sandy Soto on October 29, 2014. Real short and simple. She says, 1 star. Horrible. Next is Rondell Del Branch. Always got something to say on October 23rd. Good day, 2017. He says, 1 star. I thought it was stupid. Robots are killing machines.
Is that a question or a statement?
There ain't no question mark there, buddy. That's a statement. I did not care for this movie. I thought it was stupid. Robots, in his description, he adds a question mark. Robots are killing machines? What a stupid movie. I thought Halloween 3 was a continuation from Halloween 2. Oh, well, live and learn. Wasted $3.
That's, you know, $1 less than Susie Q earlier or whatever her fucking name was.
Oh, yeah, she paid $3.99. What a sucker.
Yeah. Well, again, this goes... what year was that review? That was, like, a new review.
Yeah, like 2014.
Okay. You have all the information at your fingertips to know that it has nothing to do with Michael Myers. And all you have to do is read a goddamn plot synopsis, and then you can skip it. Especially if you're trying to, like...
I mean, I feel like even at the latest, I would say 2005. You should know by 2005 the whole story with Halloween 3. But we don't know how old this person is. They could be... They could already be where we're getting to be at, where technology's moving too fast for us.
Yeah, well, okay, so, and it could be a young person, because I want to bring, I got to bring this up to you as a parent, an observation that I've made with my own daughter, and how we kind of talk about how young kids and their attention spans are like, super short.
Nanoseconds.
You know? Nanoseconds. Okay, so, my daughter is really into Ink Master, the TV show, right?
Oh, gosh.
Which is fine. All the seasons are on Netflix. You can watch the episodes.
I just, when I think of it, I know that, what's his name, Dave Navarro? Is that the guy that hosts it? I look at him, I'm like, this dude's the second coming of Prince. He's too fucking pretty.
Yeah. So, full episodes are on Netflix for your consumption. So you can watch a reality show. My daughter likes the show, but literally watches compilations on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, see, here's your goal is to do a pinup. And then it's just them revealing, like, here's my pinup. Like, no showing of the tattooing, no, none of the, like, actual reality show. And then people being like, your tattoo sucks, you're off the show. And, like, my daughter's like, I love clean, like some guy. And, like, but they literally watch a condensed version of a show that's already condensed. And I'm like, that's how narrow their attention span is.
You'll have to try that on another type show to see how it goes, because I can totally get behind it for Ink Master, because I don't need, they're probably what, 42 minutes per episode? I don't need the bullshit.
I think they're like a half hour.
The bullshit cutaway to clearly commercial breaks, and like, oh, what are we going to do when we come back? And then getting an entire, like, 5-second replay of what we just saw. Like, here's what we just did right before we went to commercial break again. Like, fucking get to it.
Yeah, I understand that. But when I'm like, don't you want to watch them, like, do the tattoo? Or, like, draw the tattoo? Or, like, I don't know. So, like, my wife and I were talking about it, and it's like, we love The Ultimate Fighter. And okay, so say... we just watched a condensed version of The Ultimate Fighter where it's like, you're fighting him on Saturday, and then not show the fight, and then just like show the very end of the fight, like, winner by rear naked choke. Like, no. Like, I want to watch them train. I want to watch them cut weight. I want to watch them have interactions because they live together. And then I want to watch them fight. And I want to, you know, like, I'm invested in the story that is two people having to do combat.
How would you be with that on a replay, though? Let's say you already mean,
like, watching episodes of it again.
Yeah, like let's say you've already seen that. You know the story front and back. Would you be fine with a cut of, like, just getting to the bullet points of it? Really?
Nope. I literally throw on the seasons. I have almost every season of Ultimate Fighter on DVD, and I'll just be like, today I feel like watching 6 episodes of season 4, and you know what I mean. Like, and I watch the whole thing, because I like the personality of the guys. I like they play pranks on each other. I like the challenges they have to do. I eat all that up. Like, so, but again, I don't like short form content at all. It fucking disgusts me. Sorry to derail the fucking one star reviews.
We went so far. I don't remember how we got to this. How did we get here?
I don't know. Talking about something in that review about it not having anything to do with Michael Myers or something. I don't know.
That was the last, like, 7 of those. I don't know.
It's fucking early in the morning.
Rewind that and see how the hell we got to talking about short form content of Ink Master and then The Ultimate Fighter. I mean, I can go either way when it comes to, like, like wrestling content, I can go to like just watching entrances for a match and then you can cut to the end of that match. But some matches I will watch the whole thing through. And there's some in those fucking late 90s, mid to late 90s, I can watch all the hype build up and then not even have to bother with the actual payoff of the match finale at the pay-per-view. Like, just give me the hype packages again and I'll just watch those. I'm so much fucking in that nerd spot. I used to just, that was my first like tape playlist that I would make, is just the fucking hype videos for matches.
Well, okay, so let's put it this way. So like, let's say you can watch Halloween 3, or you can watch a 6-minute video on YouTube of the 10 best moments in Halloween 3. Like, no, I'm here to watch the movie. And the other flip side to that is, you and I will watch a 6-hour documentary on Friday the 13th and get all the best moments of those movies, and then turn around and put one of those movies in to extend, you know, because it primes the pump. It makes you want to watch it.
But in a way, aren't we doing that right now?
instead of
watching Halloween 3, you want to listen to us talk about Halloween 3 for a little bit
less.
But
then when you get done listening to us, you already said when you get done with this, you might go watch it.
So
someone listening might do the same thing. So I'm just saying, you know, I'm a very complicated guy. I don't know, but.
Speaking of complicated guys, I have one more one star before we wrap up one stars. And apologies, this is an all in caps guy from, even his name, Michael Taylor, on July 17th, 2003. Bring back Michael! First of all, let me say the sequel has nothing to do at all with this Halloween 1 or 2. This is one about evil company that makes masks. Their plans to kill kids on Halloween with hypnotic commercials. Now, really, is the movie doing in this series? Nobody cares about an evil mask company. People want to see Michael Myers. This is one of the poorest excuses of a horror sequel. Tom Atkins does a decent job as Dr. Chalice, the man who tries to stop the company from killing a bunch of innocent kids on Halloween, but he can't save this movie from being a total disaster. I advise anyone not to pick this movie up for any reason. You will be highly disappointed with what it has to offer.
Maybe so. That guy's very angry.
I mean, 2003, new metal was a thing. He's angry at everybody's angry.
Yeah, got all them chains hanging off his pants.
Yeah, Limp Bizkit, Stone Sour, Puddle of Mud, 12 Stones, the Daredevil soundtrack. People are just pissy.
Yeah, Drowning Pool, wait.
Hey.
That's different.
Same time frame, though. But yeah. I'll back Drowning Pool.
Yeah, that guy died. He's gone.
He did. He did party way too hard in a tour bus and choked on his own vomit.
He drowned.
Literally. in a pool.
A vomit. I'm sorry for making jokes about that. We probably shouldn't, but...
I can't. I bought the Drowning Pool DVD that came out immediately afterwards for that guy. I have a Drowning Pool logo tattoo that I got because it also kind of looks like the Gemini symbol at the same time. I was like, you can look at it and go, oh, you're a Gemini and a Drowning Pool fan. Yeah, I lived through 03.
That's
right. I let the bodies hit the floor.
Forged in the fire of 03.
I was forged in new metal.
Yes, we were. Yeah, guy liner and gelled hair and all that craziness. But
never did guy liner, but I did gel my hair every day. In my last year of high school, I even put that stylized colored glue in my hair. So I had different colors every week. I was the Jeff Hardy of my high school. Minus the drinking habit.
Yeah. I never did the guy liner, but yeah,
I'm not the Undertaker.
It was all about the big pants, the chain wallet, the, you know, dreadlocks or different colored hair, gel in my hair, fucking frosted tips. I even went through the frosted tips era.
I just went full bleach. Couple years I just went full on bleach all my hair.
Hi, my name is Evil. My name is
Eminem was in around that time frame too.
Damn,
everybody
right.
Listened to that as well.
Was that giant screaming baby the last of the Amazon one star reviews, Evil?
I mean, I don't know how you could how you could topple that. I had to save him for last. I was looking at him like, oh yeah, that's the last guy.
That's
the good one. I can stop here.
All right, well, now that we're done with our Amazon one-star reviews, what does that mean, Evil?
Well, it's time to play the game.
It's time to play the game. Time to play the game.
It's all about the game and how you play it. The third channel's still on. Please take off the third channel. The third channel's still running. Stop it, please. For God's sakes, please stop it. There's no more time. Please stop it. Turn it off. Turn it off. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
Oh, that is excellent. We did not give a brown panty award. So I
mean, do we have anybody to give it to?
There's nobody.
I don't have anybody. Brown. Everybody that gets it deserves to get it, including all the children.
Yeah. So this episode is sans a brown panty award, and it is time to play the game. And if you're new here, welcome. And you're probably scratching your head, asking yourself, what is the game? Well, the game is a deep cut in and of itself where you have to pick a prop from the movie that we're covering, but it cannot be a well-known prop. So since we're covering Halloween 3, I guess you can't pick the
masks.
Three silver shamrock masks because those are low-hanging fruit. So you gotta pick a little something deeper. As Evil likes to say, you go deep.
Or go eat a bag of candy.
Or put your silver shamrock mask on and wait for the goddamn big giveaway.
It's on 9 right after the horrorthon.
Yes. So you got to pick a prop. Let us know in the comments everywhere, whether that be YouTube, whether that be our Discord, whether that be our Patreon, on any of your podcast listening apparatuses. Find us. Let us know what you pick. This is a tough one, dude. This is a really tough one. Yeah, there's a bunch of weird stuff in this movie. But, again, I'm not, like, super, into this movie. Like, I like this movie, but not as much as subsequent releases in the franchise. So,
we'll get to that next week. Oops, spoiler.
Uh-oh. So, if I gotta pick a prop...
One of Tom Atkins' beer cans.
What I think I want is the drill that goes into the what do you want to call her? Morgue attendant?
Chalice's side piece.
Yeah. His side piece. Like she's the coleslaw to his fucking
Jesus. Coleslaw. You know what? Fuck it. I will give her my brown panty because she's probably the only endearing character I can think of in the film. And yep.
I have my brown panty too. So go ahead.
yeah, I was like, you know what? I'll give it to her, begrudgingly, just because we didn't give it to anybody. But yeah, thinking about it, it's like, yeah, fuck it. I mean, I keep forgetting about her. Much like Dr. Chalice himself does also, I'm sure.
She is the nicest person in the movie, but I will give my brown panty award to the man I already mentioned earlier, the drunk, angry vagrant.
Which sidebar, if anyone is listening, we're trying to play the game, but the brown panty achievement we give out is just someone who dies in the film that we actually feel bad they have to die. Go back to our Friday the 13th Part 2 podcast for the birth of the brown panty achievement. Continue with the town drunkard.
Yes, the town drunkard. If you've been listening to us ramble and rant for any period of time, including our YouTube channel, you'll find that I have somewhat of an affinity for this type of character. Buck Flower is my all-time favorite character actor, and he almost always plays this guy.
Put him in this role.
Yeah, unfortunately, Buck Flower is not our homeless guy, which, oddly enough, John Carpenter and Buck had a working relationship, so I'm kind of curious why.
Who lost the number? Tommy Lee Wallace must have lost the phone number.
Yeah, Buck was probably busy doing, like, 976 Evil 2 or something. But, yeah, so this type of character, just a ratty old vagrant hanging out in an alley, you know, bumming for change, cigarettes and booze. But he's
former like CEO of Silver Shamrock before they took the "we're gonna kill kids" route business approach. Yep.
Yeah. So he, you know, he's down on his luck. He's upset at this place, and but he doesn't know the danger that he's in. He doesn't know anything.
Oh, if he did, he wouldn't still be hanging around here. Like, take what money you have and get the fuck out of Santa Mira.
Yeah, get ghost quick, dude. So, you know, he's just this angry drunk, and his mouth ends up getting him killed. And, yeah, he's a decent character. You don't, like, you don't want him to die. You do kind of feel bad for the dude. So I had to go with that.
All right, well, what do you pick for your prop then?
My prop is still, I'm leaning towards the drill
that
kills the, yeah, because
I got sidetracked with the hobo talk. I was like, oh yeah, he picked the drill, which would led me to pick the chalice side piece for the brown panty. Okay, well, I as always,
the coleslaw.
I want to go way too big for my prop, and I'm gonna take their version of Stonehenge.
You think it's a miniature, or you think it was like actual size?
Oh, I'm, you know, I think someone was like, let's do an actual, some artist there was like, we're gonna recreate a piece of Stonehenge.
Out of fucking chicken wire and,
I think it's all styrofoam. I bet that thing, you could just carry that on one arm around, like 12 feet long, 3-4 feet deep, like just a big fucking styrofoam gray block.
I can attest to making styrofoam look like concrete.
Yeah,
and it being very light.
Just stick that shit in the corner of my house and like, that's Stonehenge.
Don't climb on it, it's fragile.
Yeah, it's from an ancient sacrificial circle. We had a time getting it here. You wouldn't believe how we did it. Then someone tries to touch it, you smack their hand. Don't. It has power in it.
That we have to harness into computer chips somehow, some way.
Yeah, you cut slivers off and put it into computer chips, floppy disks, and put those on, I don't know, technology. And technology moved too fast in 1982, apparently, for me to understand.
Where's Remix when you need him? Can rocks be used in computer chips? I'll ask him the next time I reboot him.
Start off with, you know much about Stonehenge? If I was to cut a piece off Stonehenge and attach it to a flash drive, would it work?
Could I power my PC with Stonehenge chips?
I'm gonna try that shit. Just go get a gravel rock from outside, write Stonehenge on it, and tape it to a flash drive and pop it into my computer. Be like, it's a supercomputer now. It's running on Stonehenge.
Yeah. Like super,
go ahead
super
and
fast.
Yeah, go ahead and plug it. It won't do anything. It'll just stay on.
Glorious. Well, now that we've done our brown panty award, our Amazon 1-star reviews, and the prop game, I suppose we should probably get going. Because after all, there's a lot of movies out there, and somebody's got to watch them. So why not us, right?
Drinking and doctoring, great combination.